Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some of us are early risers, others are night people, preferring to sleep in and then work and play in the dark. The Bible talks about day people and night people as well, although in a different way. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. We're now in chapter 5, learning that the church is watchful, made up of sons and daughters of the day.
That is really the spiritual indifference of night people that Paul is talking about here. They're trading important things for lesser things and virtually have no concern about the future. If you're here today and you have spent more time and more energy preparing for a trip to go to Europe, and you've given not an equal amount of time to where you're going to spend all of eternity, as found in the scriptures, may I say lovingly and candidly, you're a night person. You're not a day person. Day people live for eternity, not just for time. Night people have no sense of eternal value. They live for three things, the big three. They live for money, for sex, and for fame, and that's it. They have no concept of that which is truly valuable, constantly trading down rather than trading up. So Paul says that's the third contrast. There's another contrast. And for us, by the way, he says in verse 8, since we belong to the day, let us put on the breastplate of faith. That's a sermon in itself. Why the breastplate of faith? It's the place where the arrows come. Every time you choose to sin deliberately, it shows a lack of trust in God. Faith, or a lack of it, lies at the root of virtually all of our struggles, all of our joys, all of our sorrows, and all of our temptations. And when we fail, it's lack of faith. So we take on the breastplate of faith, of love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Let me give you a fourth contrast. The fourth contrast is people of the day are not destined to wrath, verse 9, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That whether we are awake or asleep, that is to say, whether we are alive or dead, that we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. What he's saying is that the appointment to wrath, we are not appointed to wrath. Isn't that wonderful? And the reason is that Jesus bore our wrath when he died on the cross. So that's why even many of us believe that the church will not go through the period of tribulation, which is the period of God's extreme wrath and judgment. Why? Because we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And yet, if you're a night person, you are appointed to wrath. Now, we always think of Jesus as being the loving Jesus, and thank God he is. But to balance it, let me give you what Paul wrote in the second letter of Thessalonians. He says, when Jesus Christ comes, well, my Bible is open to it. I might as well read it directly from the text. When Jesus is revealed from heaven, he will grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, with his mighty angels, now notice this, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow, this is the meek and mild Jesus. Jesus comes in wrath, and that is for the night people who think that they are okay. But for those of us who are members of the day, we've seen the light, so to speak. We have the good news of the gospel that we are shielded from the wrath to come. Some observations. First, always remember that there is no place for night life if you're a day person. There's no place for night life. It is possible for someone who's a day person to live as if he's a night person with nighttime values, using that analogy. And so what we must do is come to the light. That's why the Bible says to those of us as Christians, if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I know that we normally interpret that this way. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I have fellowship with you and you have fellowship with me. Maybe that's what John means. But if you remember in grammar, remember grammar? The antecedent is always interpreted in terms of the closeness that you have to the verbs and so forth. You can interpret it this way. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Namely, God and I, we have fellowship with another when we walk in the light. Is there anything more special than fellowship with God? To be able to walk with God and you have fellowship, but you need to walk in the light. And that means the confession of all known sin. Whatever God points out to us, we confess, and by his grace we forsake. Because there's no room for nightlife kind of activities if you're a day person. You're here today and you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm living as if I belong to the night. It's time for you to be brought into the light through repentance and faith. And then also, most important, no person can of himself go from darkness to light. That is the work of God. That's what God births in us when we trust Christ as Savior. If you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus, or you're listening on the internet and you've never trusted Christ, don't even begin to think that the answer is to confess all of your sins. Number one, there's no way that you would remember all of them, right? None of us remember all of them. You need to understand that the entry point for you, the entry point, is to receive Christ as Savior and to come under the protection of his grace, that you might be saved from the wrath to come. And the Bible says, if any man believes in him, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. So the transformation of values, the transformation of perspective, is a work that God does within the human heart to those who believe. Whenever we talk about light and darkness, we always are reminded of this passage, written to believers, but it's really for everyone who's listening today. A very famous conversion took place because of this passage. Some of you already know what I'm referring to. It says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That's God's word to my heart and to your heart today. And the conversion that took place, you know, is Augustine. You remember that story of sometimes pronounced Augustine, the man, the great theologian who impacted Christianity for 1,000 years? He was in a garden and he thought he heard a voice, take it and read. And there was a New Testament there and he read. Of course, it wasn't a book like we have, but he read the manuscript, and that's where his eyes fell on that. And he was so convicted because he was living with a woman to whom he was not married and had a child with her. And suddenly God says that you're to walk properly in the daytime, not in orgy, not in drunkenness, not in immorality, sensuality. And right there he knew he had to be converted. And so he believed in Christ and was converted. He went from being a night person to a day person. It's called conversion. And then when his mistress wanted to continue to live with him, she was running toward him. And she shouted at him, it is I. But he turned around and said, but it is not I. I'm not the person that I used to be. because now I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness with all of its deceptions into the kingdom of his marvelous light. What about you? Question. Day person or night person? The return of Jesus Christ is coming. The rapture, followed by tribulation, followed by more tribulation, and the glorious return of Jesus to set up his kingdom and to judge the world. Where will you be when Jesus comes? Let's pray. And so before I pray, I want you to pray. You pray silently and you tell the Lord whether or not you think that you are a night person or a day person. And if you're a day person, but you're walking in darkness, would you confess that to the Lord right now? If you're a night person, say, I want to be converted. Save me, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for people who are struggling to cross the line. Cause them to see the light of the gospel. And may they know that through Christ, we go from darkness to light. Receive us, we pray, in his blessed name. Amen. Amen.
You know, even as I was speaking about the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return, a verse of scripture that comes to my mind right now is found in 1 John, where it says that we should live in such a way that we will not have shame at his coming. That's sobering. When you stop to think of it, you realize that we can go through life only once, and then, of course, there is no redo. Well, a part of our existence, a part of our life, has to do with our emotions. That's why I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions. I wrote the book because I recognize that emotions are God's gift, but at the same time, they can become very negative. I'm talking about things such as anger, unforgiveness, emotions such as fear and anxiety. And the question is, what does the Bible have to say about them? And how do we manage them? How can we be brought to what I like to call emotional wholeness? Well, for a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you, and we do that because we believe it's going to be a great blessing. We think that as you read it and pass it along to others, that you'll find the kind of insights that you might be looking for. Remember the title of the book, Managing Your Emotions.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded a message on The Church is Watchful, the fifth in a series from 1 Thessalonians on what happens when God comes to church. Next time on Running to Win, we'll see that when revival comes, people will pray. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.